Well, as the Cattle Hill Wind Farm takes shape in the heart of Tasmania, a push is on not to forget the neighbouring historic Watamana Power Station. Farm labourers and miners helped construct the now disused power station just over a century ago, and it's one of the finest preserved structures of its type in the world. Historian Chris Tassel has been brought in by Hydro to help and spoke to me about the historic site.
It's one of the most amazing heritage sites in Tasmania, although few people realise just how important it is. I've been engaged by Hydro to work on aspects of the presentation of Watamana as, well, the most historic hydroelectric power station, large hydroelectric power station in the southern hemisphere, certainly in Tasmania, and one of the most important from the early 20th century surviving in the world. I mean, after all, this was the birth of the hydro in its many manifestations, which was an amazing vision in its own right in terms of establishing a statewide power grid, the first in the country. And I think the hydro have an attachment to this place, which is understandable because it really was the turning point in Tasmania's 20th century history.
Tell us about how it came to be opened.
Watamana was really the result of the vision of three men. The first was Professor Macaulay, the first professor of physics and mathematics at the University of Tasmania, who had a holiday shack here in the Central Highlands and wandered around with other members of his family and recognised the potential of the drop between the Shannon River and the Ouse River, which was some 300 metres, the potential that that could be used to generate electricity. He also realised that with a little bit of engineering, you could actually use the waters from the Great Lake, shift them into the Shannon River, and then down through a power station here. So that he was the first one. The second one was Gillies, who was a metallurgist working in Broken Hill and saw that so much of the zinc ore wasn't being extracted and thought there must be a better way. And then he went and experimented and came up with a process for separating zinc from the ore, which used electricity. He needed lots of electricity. He came to Tasmania. He came across Macaulay's report and letter to the Mercury, and it went from there. He drove the establishment of a private company, raised funds in Britain and Australia to build the power station, as well as initially a zinc refinery in Hobart and then the carbide works at Electrona.
Now, it was a tough time. It was a tough period because it was First World War, wasn't it? Where were the workers?
Well, it was very tough. They started in 1910. I mean, this was a site in the middle of nowhere, no road access, and it was on the other side of the world from where all the equipment had to come. So they slowly developed the site. It was being essentially, the engineer in charge was a fellow Butters, and he was the third key player. And he was able to drive the whole project. So despite the First World War, which saw men joining the army, machinery which had been ordered from Europe either confiscated by the Germans or lost at sea, so they had to get more. Despite all these problems and the weather, he was able to get the first part of the power station operating in 1916.
Now, imagining a lot of local farmers would have been co-opted to come and do some work as well.
Well, certainly a lot of the farm labourers and those who are living on the Central Plateau worked here, as did a lot of the miners. They attracted a lot of miners from the West Coast, and the work was very similar. And so they had a pretty skilled workforce, despite the fact that you had to walk here, you had to basically fend for yourself in a way, and you were getting 8 or 9 shillings a day.
Walk from where?
Well, either Bothwell or Deloraine.
What about the food, though? What did they do? Did they stay in a camp here?
They basically lived in tents. And then it got more sophisticated as time went on, and they had little wooden shacks. And initially they looked after themselves, but finally mess halls were built. Food came in from the stores, the butchers at Bothwell, or from landowners who provided meat on contract to the hydro. But it was still pretty tough.
I'm just thinking the new wind farm is being built just up the hill. You can see it if you walk out the door. And just the corollary between the two, the conditions have changed a lot different. But I suppose the one thing that's there is the renewable energy, the water, the wind.
Indeed. And I think that's what makes Watamana such an amazing site now, because It was here because of the potential of the water, a renewable resource, and in fact one of the factors in the location of the wind farm at Cattle Hill was they had access to all the electrical infrastructure that had been built for Watamana. And yes, another renewable resource. It's a tremendous story, and the one site, Watamana, just keeps on giving, that it's right at the cutting edge of renewable energy generation in Tasmania and Australia.
Chris, what do you see your job as to try and attract more people to come and visit?
Well, my job is really to just provide some advice, but in fact, this is a site that warrants every Tasmanian coming to see, and I would hope that it's not just Hydro who have invested so much in keeping this site open for, what, close to 30 years now, which is an amazing achievement, but also other communities. I mean, it is one of the major tourist attractions in the Central Highlands, and I think it'd be rather nice that if other industry organisations involved in tourism actually saw the potential of this site and its unique status in terms of Australia's electrical history.
For the people who haven't been here, what's in this huge warehouse, this decommissioned power plant?
Well, essentially there are 9 generating units. There are Pelton wheels, which are driving electrical generators, which then link to the power grid. There are also all the other ancillary features here, and in the last 12 months, the Hydro has developed a whole array of new interpretation. There are exhibitions, not just on the history of the power station, but life in Watamana Village, and the impact of the coming of the Hydro on life in the Central Plateau.
And one of the exhibitions here is a unique office set in the, I think it's the 60s, is it?
Yes, it's a classic time capsule. You've got the engineer's office and you've got the general administration office. It's just like the turbine hall in the sense that this amazing capsule reflects a past working environment. There's also the workshops and various other spaces here which are still intact.
And not a computer to be seen.
Well, there is actually one in the back storeroom, and that's a historic object in its own right.
Really?
Yes. It's about a 1980s computer, which probably has, well, certainly does have less capacity than the phone that you're using this, recording this on.
Now, Chris, you have a background in the history of Tasmania. You've been in the National Trust, and you've been in various other positions to do with history. A lot of history on farms across the state, and a lot of farmers are taking advantage of that now by doing them up and offering them as farm stays.
Well, yes, I think what Tasmania has to offer is this amazing heritage resource that, again, we tend to take for granted, but is really uncommon. And for farmers to offer farm stays or the experience on the farm is wonderful, because it's providing an opportunity that is so rare these days in the world. And I think, again, take heritage for granted. We should actually be saying, we've got this amazing finite resource, we have to handle it carefully, but we can get a tremendous return from it. I think Tasmania's in the box seat to be able to offer a really rich array of experiences, our agriculture and our heritage in our agriculture.
And our power stations.
Yes, and our power stations. No one else can offer something like this.
Very passionate historian there, Chris Tassel, at the Watamana Power Station in the Central Highlands. And by the way, the walk from Deloraine is a mere 100 kilometres, while the walk from Bothwell just 41 kilometres. Imagine walking to work in this day and age, those distances. Times have certainly changed with the working conditions, and comparing it to the workers' conditions up the road on the Cattle Hill Wind Farm, completely different.